When you were younger, did you ever play with invisible ink? You can make it out of lemon juice, or there's different things you can make it out of. And you write a message, it dries and it disappears. And you have to do something in order to see it again. Hold it up to the light or hold it against the heat. There's something there, but you can't see it. You just see the space where it's hiding. Or if you don't want a visual image, I was thinking about white noise. That noise, you notice it when you first hear it, and then you get so used to it that it just fades into the background until you find yourself noticing not hearing it when you move to a different place. Apparently, white noise is a gift to parents. I haven't quite worked this out for myself, but my friend informs me that vacuum cleaners are a wonderful gift. Once again, we notice it in its absence. And in both cases, it looks like or it sounds like nothing's there. This story this morning starts with absence. It's still dark. There isn't even light out as Mary goes to the place where Jesus' body has been laid. And Jesus was, for Mary, as for other disciples, a teacher, a leader, a friend, a mentor, someone in whom she and others placed so much hope. And then he was killed. He was killed by those who were holding on to their power and afraid of the threat that he posed. Not because he would be violent, but they didn't know that. But because he encouraged others to see things differently, to think about things differently. And so Mary is going to the tomb in the dark. And in John's gospel, she's going alone. Well, each of the gospel writers, and there's four of them, tell the story a little differently. It's not quite the same in each one. And so some of the gospel writers tell us it was a group of women and that they were going to prepare the body for burial because that hadn't been done properly because Jesus died just before the Sabbath. John doesn't tell us that. John just tells us that Mary goes to the tomb alone. So what's John thinking Mary was doing there? What do we do when we've experienced loss or absence? Sometimes all we want to do is hold on to what's gone, to be as close as possible to what we've lost. And sometimes in our grief, all we want is to be alone, like Mary, going to the tomb. And so John tells us that Mary sees that the stone has been rolled away, and she immediately runs to get Peter and the other disciple, who's not named in John's gospel. She immediately runs to get them, saying, "The body has been taken." Is she jumping to a conclusion? Is she making an assumption? We don't even hear that she looks in. Because what she sees is not what she expects, she immediately assumes the worst that she can imagine, that the body has been taken, that she cannot even be with Jesus' body in her grief. And as an aside, Mary jumps to assumptions later on as well, when she meets the man in the garden and assumes he's a gardener. And it's a natural thing to do for us to make assumptions, but it reminds us that when we're in the midst of grief, often that gets in the way of paying attention to what's really happening, what's really there. So I'm spending a little bit of time talking about the start of this story. And I won't go through all of it this way, but you'll notice that it takes a while for them to figure out what's going on. Mary goes and comes back. The disciples go, first one looks in, then Peter goes in, then the other disciple goes in. Eventually Mary makes it. The other disciples go home. It's a bit of a process to get past that grief and that surprise in order to see and realize what's actually happening. They start by focusing on what's missing, Jesus' body. And that's a natural response, a human response, whenever we experience grief and loss, to pay attention first to what is missing. And not just with grief and loss either. So with grief or loss, we might see what's missing. Or in an argument with someone we care about, whether it's friends or family, we might just focus on what's going wrong. What's not working. Or during illness, whether it's chronic or acute, we might be able to pay attention to nothing but the pain. There's so many ways in our personal lives we can't get past those barriers, those absences, that sorrow, to pay attention to what else is happening. And it's not just true in our personal lives. It's true in the world as well. When I was on maternity leave, I didn't pay attention to the news very much. I thought I had better things to do, like sleep. And so getting back to working was also getting back to paying attention to the news. And particularly this week, I wanted to look for some good news stories. It's Easter coming up. What are the stories of good news that we can share? And we'll hear a few that I did find during our prayers, but that was a bit of work. It took a while to get past the stories of all the bad news, all the things going wrong, whether small or big in our city and in our world. And that's not because everything is going wrong in our city and in our world, but because of that tendency, the tendency of Mary and the disciples, the tendency of the news, the tendency of all of us to look at what we don't like, to look at what's going wrong, to look at where grief is, and not pay attention to the rest of it, not notice what else is happening. Maybe because it's so commonplace that it doesn't seem worth commenting on. Of course people should behave well. Of course people should be kind to strangers. Of course someone should give up their seat on the bus. So when that happens, we take it for granted. It's when it doesn't happen that we pay attention. It's like that invisible ink. It takes a bit of work to see it there. You have to go through the effort of the heat or the light in order to see what's written underlying that apparently blank space. It's like that white noise that we just take for granted when we're hearing it and only notice when it seems to be gone. That's what the good news is like. The good news is the invisible ink behind the empty tomb. It's the white noise that we don't pay attention to unless we force ourselves to. And yet it's there, present, in our absences, in our grief, in the midst of the stories about everything going wrong in the world. That good news is written underneath. That good news that goes like this. Love is stronger than hate. Life is stronger than death. Goodness and mercy are stronger than anger. Hope is stronger than despair. God's love surrounds us, connects us, comforts us, and is present with us. God's love is never absent. It walks before us and follows after, whether or not we pay attention. And sometimes in those spaces where things seem to be going wrong, when the body seems to be missing, that's when new life is happening, if we turn, like Mary turns. And then if we listen, because Mary doesn't recognize him right away, I mentioned that before, she recognizes him not just by seeing him, but when he says her name. When he gives her her name, her whole self, all of her, then she is present. And then she can respond. So in Easter, I'm spending a lot of time talking about absence, but you're probably not thinking about absence as much today. Might depend what's going on in your life, but you might be spending much more time thinking about what's there. The flowers, the Easter egg hunt happening downstairs now or a bit later, the chocolates, the meals with family, the expectations. You might be thinking about all those things, but the thing is, Easter isn't just one day, it keeps going. And so when the busyness and joy of today subsides, it's the white noise, it's the invisible ink that we hold on to. Easter is that ever-present possibility of transformation from a minor to a major key. Just as we'll hear in the hymn that we'll sing together in a moment. And Easter, in that possibility of transformation, is also a call for each of us to pay attention to where that's happening in our lives and in our world. And then when we see and experience where that's happening, to take part. So the last line of the hymn says, "We must make visible love without end." That love without end is already true. That's the Easter story that takes place every day. But it's also something that we make true in our actions today and each day. We must make visible love without end, visible, audible, tangible, love without end. We do that because we are shards of God's love. We ourselves are the invisible ink and the white noise of divine love. We just need to be held up to the light. We just need to find ourselves near the heat that lets those words shine. And so, in absences and presence, may you be that sign of love. In joy and in sorrow, may you be God's resurrection promise that life continues. Because life is stronger than death, joy is stronger than sorrow, hope is stronger than despair, goodness and mercy and compassion are stronger than anger and fear. May it always be so. Amen.